George Washington, the first president of the United States, said this. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. That statement is a theme that some of the founding fathers of our country took into consideration when they laid the foundation of the government of the United States, that we needed God and the Bible as part of the principles of our government. Unfortunately, our country and much of the world does not take God into consideration or God's word in the decisions that are made in the course of their countries, our country and also the countries around the world. Therefore, we find a world that is plunging into debt, disorder, civil unrest, and a prospect of war that cannot be stopped by the governments of this world. The good news, however, is that this day, the day that this day pictures, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures the intervention of God in the affairs of this world. It pictures the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to establish the kingdom of God so that the world can finally be rightly governed. And it will be rightly governed because Jesus Christ will be sitting on the throne governing it from Jerusalem. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, one of the significant scriptures of this day. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15, we read, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" The seventh angel is going to blast the trumpet, and that will be the signifying sign that Christ has put down the nations of the earth and has set up his government on this earth, the kingdom of God. Notice the phrase here in verse 15, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord." Have become, because the nations, the governments of this world had been ruling previously. Today's English version reads like this: "The power to rule over the world belongs now to our Lord and his Messiah." It will belong, the rule of this earth, to Jesus Christ when he sets up his government. The power did belong and has belonged to the nations for 6,000 years of mankind's history. But Jesus Christ will set up the government. Unfortunately, when Jesus Christ returns, the nations are going to fight against him. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. The power was in their hands. They see Jesus Christ will be returning, and they're going to fight against him. Revelation chapter 19. And let's begin reading verse number 11. Revelation 19:11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." This is a description of Jesus Christ. And yet notice that he's going to come in judgment and, unfortunately, war as well, because the nations are going to turn and fight on him. Continuing on. "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Verse 15, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with a rod of iron." So again, these nations are going to turn and fight on Jesus Christ when he returns. Skip down to verse number 19. "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." Now you might ask the question, why would anybody in the world want to make war on Jesus Christ, the returning God, to set up a peaceful reign on this earth? A reign of abundance, the best thing that mankind can ever think about. and yet they're going to make war. And that's because Satan the devil is going to deceive the nations, deceive them and trick them into thinking that they need to fight against him. And there's going to be war. And yet, what kind of warning is the world going to have? Will the world have any warning before all of this does happen? The nations will be deceived. There will be terrible war at the return of Christ. And unfortunately, he's going to have to put judgment upon those nations that war against him. This day does picture the return of Jesus Christ. It also does picture the resurrection of the first fruits. But it also, there's a message within this day, a message of warning, a message of warning to not only the nations of the world, but to our nation and to us as well. The trumpet blast was used in ancient Israel to send important messages. As part of the important messages that were to be sounded out to the people, they sounded out messages of warning, of impending danger and warfare. And trumpets were used in ancient Israel to sound a warning that warfare was imminent. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. This section of Scripture describes some of the uses of the trumpets to give messages to Israel. Numbers 10, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself, and you shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling the congregation and directing the movement of the camps." So this is one of the uses of the trumpets, one of the messages that was blasted out to the congregation to get them to move in a certain direction. Now let's go down to verse number 7. "And when the assembly is to be gathered, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations." Verse number 9. "When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies." So this was another use of the trumpets for an alarm of war, to give the message to the children of Israel that the enemy was coming and that they needed to be prepared. Notice this phrase in verse number 9, "you will be remembered and saved." The trumpets were a way of seeking God's will and his presence in the battle that was to be fought. So this was one of the messages that was sent to ancient Israel by the use of trumpets, an alarm of war. And the sounding of trumpets in Revelation warns of impending disasters, just as the blowing of trumpets did in ancient Israel. The warning of war by the trumpet blast sets the Feast of Trumpets apart from the other holy days that God has instituted. The Feast of Trumpets is joyful on one hand because we know what's going to happen after Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom. But on the other hand, it is contrasted with a note of solemnity because there's a warning that must be given, a warning of judgment when Jesus Christ returns. And it must be heeded, that warning as well. The title of today's sermon is Three Facets of the Trumpet Warning. Three Facets of the Trumpet Warning. Today we're going to examine in this sermon three facets of how trumpets are used as a warning device. A warning device to God's people and to the world, starting from ancient times all the way to the return of Jesus Christ. It's a warning that needs to be heeded. And it can save any person or any nations or any peoples from destruction. So let's examine these three facets of warning that the trumpet blast signifies. First of all, it's a warning of judgment to Israel. A warning of judgment to Israel, both ancient and modern Israel. Hosea chapter 5. Please turn to Hosea chapter 5. We went through this section of scripture in the Bible study series on the minor prophets. Israel had been warned by the prophet Hosea that destruction, judgment was coming because of their sins. Remember, we talked about the fact that Hosea was probably sent some 50 years before the Assyrians came and took over the land, the judgment that came. And that he warned them during a time of prosperity. Israel was at the height of their prosperity. They had more land and owned more territory at that particular time. And yet it was also a time of idolatry, of breaking God's commandments. And Hosea was sent to prophesy to the people. Hosea chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. Hear this, O priests. First of all, the priests get warned. They're the ones that should have been leading the people down the right path, to the path towards God. Take heed, O house of Israel. So all the people now get their warning. Give ear, O house of the king. The governmental leader, the king, he gets his warning as well. For yours is the judgment. And why would they receive judgment? Because of the sins. Because you have been a snare to Mizpah and set a net spread on Tabor. Tabor was to the north of the northern tribes of Israel. Mizpah and Tabor were unfortunately areas of great idolatry, singled out here as part of the problem why they were going to receive judgment. Idolatry that anciently spread throughout Israel. Modern Israel has the same problem. Verse number 2. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Spiritual slaughter. The people being taken down. Though I rebuke them all. Verse number 3. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. You can't hide anything from God. God knows what's going on. Their idolatry and the sins. For now, O Ephraim, which is one of the heads of the northern tribes, for now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry, and Israel is defiled. So God plainly is telling them some of their sins here. Verse number 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, despite the prophets that were sent, like Hosea, you know, so many prophets that were sent. Amos was another one that was sent to the northern tribes, and yet the people did not turn. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. Anciently, they did not know God. They were losing touch with God. Fast forward to our day and time, can't we say the same thing? Our people don't know God. Children aren't being taught the Ten Commandments. They're taking God's word and throwing it away. They do not know the Lord. Verse number 5, the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. Here's a scripture that shows all of the tribes are completely falling. Now, at this particular time, we know that Israel would fall somewhere around 722 BC to the Assyrians. Judah did not fall at that particular time because they had not fallen completely into the idolatry of the northern tribes. And yet they would some 150 years later. So this particular scripture is showing all the tribes stumbling and falling at the same time. It's a picture of today's world. Verse number 6, with their flocks and herds, they go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. This is what you might call a last ditch repentance. Realizing that the enemy was at the gate. And whoa, hold the phone, I better humble myself. But it was a little too late. But they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, and they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon, or 30 days, a very fast time, shall devour them and their heritage. Now notice verse number 8. All the things have been described, the problems with Israel. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Israel shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. God warns his people before judgment comes. That's what he was doing through the prophet Hosea, some 50 years before they would actually fall. He was telling them that they need to repent and they need to turn to God. And He was giving them that warning. And notice how it's described here. It's described using the analogy of blow the ram's horn in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. That warning message to the people of that day. God gives warning before judgment comes. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Most of you are familiar with this section of Scripture, this being the watchman, Ezekiel as a watchman. The watchman's message is one that's repeated in Ezekiel for emphasis. Ezekiel chapter 33, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people. And say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Back in those ancient times, they had a watchman that they would set at their borders, the border of their territory, to watch in case the enemy was approaching. And that watchman had to blow the trumpet to let the people know that the enemy was getting close and that they needed to take heed and take the appropriate measures. But notice, if someone hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, in this verse number 4 I'm reading, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So the trumpet blast sounds, and let's say one particular fellow hears the sound of the trumpet, knows the enemy's coming, and yet he doesn't pay any attention. The blood's on his own head. Verse number 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. That's why God gives the warning to his people to escape the danger. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, this watchman, he's at the border of the territory. Let's say he falls asleep on the job, does not even know that the enemy is approaching. And the people are not warned, and the sword comes along and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. It was the watchman's responsibility to blow the horn. He has to be ready to give that sound. Verse number 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. God gave his people warning that destruction was coming. And God gives warning to his people today. And that's why the gospel message goes out. That's part of what we do. To tell this world that Jesus Christ is returning to set up his government. And yet there's going to be many things happening before his return. A time of Jacob's trouble. A time like it's never been seen on this earth. And people can be saved if they hear the warning message. The sword here is talking about an invading army. And the watchman has to blow the trumpet and warn the people. It's his responsibility. And that's what God wants to have happen. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And we'll be reading verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse number 5. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Notice the phrase here, blow the trumpet. That can also be translated, blast into the far sounding reaches of the nation. and the trumpet blast literally shook the land. Notice the word here in verse number 5, cry. The word cry was used in association with the trumpet blast. And it literally means cry with a clear voice. Cry with a clear voice. Now the trumpet blast was given to ancient Israel to take warning. But today, the trumpet blast, the warning, is a clear voice, a message of the things that are going to happen, prophetically speaking. It says, go into the fortified cities. Prepare yourself. Save your life. Here's what the Nelson Study Bible adds to verse number 5. It says this. Jeremiah announced the judgment of Judah and Israel with the alarming sound of a trumpet. Literally, a shofar made of a ram's horn. This was the instrument used to sound the alarm when an enemy attacked a city. So the ram's horn was used as an alarm of war. And when the trumpet blasted, the people knew what was coming. Verse number 19, Jeremiah, he has this vision of what's this judgment that's going to be coming. He sees the trumpet blast and the warning go out. And now he begins to reflect upon this. Verse number 19, oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. Now just imagine if you could see what Jeremiah and some of the prophets saw in visions. You would say the same thing. Boy, do I feel this deep down inside. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. This is Jeremiah's reaction to the sound of the ram's horn, to the trumpet blast. Notice it says the word here in verse number 19, soul. This is a reference to internal organs. In the ancient Middle East, they referred to their soul as their inner being and their seat as their seat of emotions and feelings. Notice the phrase here in verse number 19, my heart makes a noise in me. Today we would say, I have a sick feeling deep down inside from the things that I see in the trumpet blast that he heard. So hearing the trumpet blast and knowing that war was coming gave Jeremiah a sick feeling inside. It was his reaction. You know, today, just to kind of reflect on a sick feeling inside, you know, today we have sirens when tornadoes go off. You know, something that I've come to know, gladly not this year so much, but we live in Tornado Alley here in Arkansas. You know, in Michigan, occasionally there were some tornadoes, but down here in the south, in this particular area, you seem to have more of them. Fortunately, this year there hasn't been too many here in this area. But you know, when you hear that siren blast, that there's a possible tornado coming, it strikes fear down your backside. You get a chill. It's a reaction that you have. You have a feeling deep down inside because of the terrifying blast of noise, knowing that there is a possible tornado. The same kind of reaction they had when the trumpet blast, the warning of impending judgment. Amos chapter 3, please turn there. This is another prophet that was sent to the northern tribes of Israel. Amos was a sheep herder in Judah, and he was sent also to the northern tribes to warn them, to get them to turn in repentance to God. And yet the people did not heed. Amos chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 6 and 7. Amos chapter 3, verse number 6. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? Now, that, if you stop and think about that for a minute, if you knew an invading army like the great Assyrian nation was coming, or for Judah, the Babylonians, with their fierce weapons that they have, and you hear that trumpet blast, you can bet the people were afraid and starting to take cover. If there's a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it because of judgment, because of the people's sins? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that's why the warning message goes out today, to warn our peoples and to warn the world of the impending disasters that will be coming. Hosea chapter 8, just a few pages back. Hosea chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Again, this is our first facet of the messages of the trumpet, and that judgment is one of the messages of the trumpet blast. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 1. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord. This "he shall come like an eagle" was referring to the Assyrian nation that God was going to use against the children of the northern tribes of Israel. And the warning message is that they're coming, and they're coming like an eagle. The reference to an eagle is something that swoops down quickly and swoops down on its enemy. And that's the way the Assyrians would sweep down on the northern tribes of Israel. And why would they sweep down so quickly? Last part of verse number 1. Because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. That's the reason God was going to bring that judgment. And yet, he was giving them warning through the prophet Hosea and the prophet Amos that this would be coming. A chance to repent and turn. Verse number 2. Israel will cry to me, "My God, we know you." There's that last ditch repentance again, like we read earlier. But it's too late. And of course, it's most likely a feigned repentance. It's not really from the heart. Israel has rejected the good, and the enemy will pursue him. They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. For their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. So the judgment would be coming, but God gave them a chance to repent. And it's through the warning of the prophet, the trumpet message, as a warning of repentance. So the first facet of the trumpet warning is that judgment is coming. The second facet of the trumpet warning is that the trumpet blast is used as a warning to repent. What we're just reading here in chapter 8 brings me to the second facet of the trumpet warning. Ancient Israel blasted the trumpet through the prophets to warn the people. And that's what the work of the church does today, to warn the world that they need to repent. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1. I think this is a familiar scripture to all of you. I can remember as a little boy at feasts and listening to sermons from Mr. Armstrong, and he quoted this particular scripture quite often. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. There again, that's the second message from the trumpet blast, to warn the people to repent and turn to God. Notice this word, cry. Again, this literally means cry with a clear voice, a clear message from the scriptures. This is what you need to do. It's not a scream, but a clear voice. You know, sometimes some people in different types of religions, they like to make noises, scream and shout. That's not God's way. This is cry with a clear voice, an understanding voice that can be understood by people. Notice the word transgression. Transgression is related to the word rebelled, which is what ancient Israel did and modern Israel is doing today. So the prophet Isaiah was to alert the people loudly and clearly as a trumpet to get their attention of their transgressions and sins. So just as the trumpet was used to get the people's attention, people are to be warned as well. And that's the mission of the church, to make a call to repentance. And it goes beyond the nations of Israel. It goes to the whole world, the gospel message. Please turn to Joel chapter 2. We have to get the warning message out that there's a time of terrible destruction coming, and yet people can be saved if they turn to God. Joel chapter 2. Again, another section of scripture that we looked at in the Bible study series on the minor prophets. Joel chapter 2, verse number 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. And then there's a description in the next verses talking about the things that would be happen at the time of the day of the Lord. That three and a half year period that's going to come on this world just before Jesus Christ returns. Also referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble, a time like there's never been upon this earth. As it goes into verse number 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. More description in the next verses that we won't go into right now. But it is a warning, a trumpet blast that we must make that this time is coming yet in the future. Revelation chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 12 through 17. Again, some more description of what it will be like at that time of the day of the Lord and the heavenly signs. Revelation chapter 6, and let's pick it up in verse number 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. We're heading to the country of Chile this year for the Feast of Tabernacles, and one of my wife's fears is earthquakes. Seems like every year that we go to Chile for the feast, there's an earthquake. Those people don't even think nothing of it. They just go about their business like nothing has happened. And yet we're walking around terrified. But this is talking about a great earthquake like has never happened upon this earth. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Such destruction at this particular time. Mountains and things being moved. Islands. Verse number 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains for fear of the destruction that was happening. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great is the day of his wrath. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And yet, if people are warned, they can be saved from the destruction that will be happening at that particular time. This is a time of Christ's supernatural intervention in world affairs, and it will be announced by the heavenly signs. And that's why our work as a church is so important, to get the warning message out, to provide opportunity for repentance. Opportunity for repentance to those that will heed the warning. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, the section of Scripture where the disciples had approached Jesus Christ asking for specific signs of his imminent return. And chapter 24 is the prophecy that he gave of the things that would be happening just before he returns. And actually things that would be happening from that time forward, but especially just before he returns. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled. You know, we've had wars throughout mankind's history, some terrible, terrible wars. And yet these are going to be wars like none before them. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So some terrible things are going to be happening just before Jesus Christ returns. And yet, our mission as a church is to give a warning message to the world. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That watchman's warning will go out. The warning to turn to God. And God's church is giving that warning message, reminding people that they need to turn to God and that there is a way of escape. And that's where we are right now. We've been warned and we've been given, you and I, opportunity to repent. And we must warn the world as well. So we must make the most of our personal lives and heed the warning from the trumpet blast. And that brings me to the third facet of the warning message of the trumpet. And that is a trumpet warning to the church. We've seen that one of the messages of the trumpet blast is that judgment is coming. Another one is that for the need to repent. The third facet of the trumpet warning is a trumpet warning to the church. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 10. Revelation 1 and verse number 10. The Apostle John says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Notice, a voice like a trumpet. Whose voice was it? Verse number 11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. And the seven churches are listed here, the churches that were in existence at the time of the Apostle Paul's writing on the postal route in that particular area. And yet, this is the seven church eras from that time, from the apostles, all the way down to the return of Jesus Christ. And there's a message, a trumpet message, a voice to the churches. Verse number 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. Now, we talked about this in the Bible study series of Zechariah, that the seven lampstands here, the golden lampstands, represent the churches. Going down to verse number 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And there's a message. There's a trumpet message, a voice giving a message to the church. And we see that message here in this section of Scripture in Revelation. Notice in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This is part of the message to the church. The trumpet message, the blast. Verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we listening to the message, the voice, the trumpet message to each and every one of us, to be overcoming, to be zealous, to be getting right with our Almighty God? Revelation chapter 11, just a few pages forward. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 1. Then I was given a reed, like a measuring rod. This is like a measuring tape that a carpenter would use to measure with. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. This is a prophecy about the church being measured. Notice those who worship there, the last part of verse number 1. And we do get measured. And how do we get measured? By God's Word, by the Scripture. How are we living? How do we measure up to God's Word? And what standards are we living by? The church is measured by Scripture. The Nelson Study Bible adds this, God demonstrated His grace by warning His people beforehand and providing opportunity for repentance before He brought His judgment upon them. And God, through His grace, has given us opportunity out of just a few out of the world. We're just a few here amongst all this area, and yet He's given us the grand opportunity to repent and to walk with Him. warning his people beforehand and providing opportunity for repentance. And we have that opportunity today. Verse number 2 gives us the time setting. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. This is talking about the events that are going to be happening just before Jesus Christ returns. The events in Europe that will be culminating in the beast power. And what will be happening, as it says, treading the holy city, Jerusalem, underfoot. And yet we have warning that these things are coming. And that we need to be ready, spiritually ready. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, as we begin to wind down here. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 13. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we listening to the trumpet message to each and every one of us? Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. This is a custom that they used to do in the ancient times, where the bridegroom would be coming, and he didn't announce when he would be coming. He could be coming at any time, and the virgins had to be ready. They had their little party ready to meet the bridegroom. He could come and show up at night, and if he did, they had to go out and meet him with their lamps lit, and they had to be ready for that. Verse number 2, now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Of course, there's an analogy here about those who are ready for the bridegroom to come, who are wise and who are foolish. Verse number 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Those who are foolish don't have a ready supply of the Holy Spirit. They're not ready when the bridegroom would be coming. Verse number 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They certainly were not ready. And verse number 6, and at midnight a cry was heard. What did we talk about with the cry earlier? A trumpet blast? And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. But are they ready when the trumpet blasts? Verse number 7, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Get yourself ready, in other words. Verse number 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. This kind of goes back to what we read previously in the Minor Prophets about those who did the last-ditch repentance. It really wasn't from the heart. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. And we read that previously again in the Minor Prophets. Watch, therefore. And here's our admonition. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. But we want to be spiritually ready. We want to have the oil so that we can be ready to meet the bridegroom when Jesus Christ returns. Are we ready for the marriage supper? We have the warning, and the church is being measured. It's our time to prepare and be ready. Finally, let's go to the verse we started with in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15. This day has so much significance. We can have many messages about the significance of this day. And the warning message is just another one of those. But there's a great message here in this particular verse, because it's going to change the history of mankind when this is fulfilled in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15. We'll read it again. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. And there's going to be the most beautiful changes taking place on this earth. Changes like we have dreamed about and thought about and meditated about. And that are finally going to be happening because Jesus Christ will have returned and set up His kingdom. This day has so much significance. The establishment of the kingdom. The resurrection of the first fruits. But also the trumpet warning as a call to repentance. That judgment is coming so that people can change their lives and turn to God. And for us to take that into consideration as well. The trumpet warnings are for our benefit to take action. Let us not be lukewarm. Let us not be sleeping. But let us be spiritually prepared to go forward to God's kingdom. Let's listen to the message of the trumpet blast.